Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. Tomorrow, the Bulkley Valley Research Center is hosting Dr. Haley Tumas for a Zoom webinar on genetic biodiversity in BC's forests. Genetic diversity is the raw material of natural selection and therefore adaptation in forests, which helps to fight against climate crises in our province. Dr. Tumas will explain more about the importance of diversity in our forests, as well as answer questions about the industry, conservation, and research. No registration is required, and you can join the Zoom webinar tomorrow at 12 p.m. until 1 p.m. online by finding the link on the BV Research Center's Facebook page, or you can email info@bvcenter.ca to request an invitation link.
I'm Dr. Haley Tumas. I'm a research scientist with the Forest Improvement and Research Management Branch of the BC Ministry of Forests. And I am talking to you today from the Cowichan Lake Research Station, which is on the traditional territory of the Kwutzyn and Thibbisset Nation.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Tumas, for giving me time to speak about a webinar that you're presenting, co-presented from the Bulkley Valley Research Center, which is happening tomorrow night, Wednesday, January 22nd. Your presentation, it's about managing genetic diversity in BC's forests. So I'd like to start with, what do genetics have to do with biodiversity?
Yeah, so I think a lot of times when we're thinking of biodiversity, we think about a diversity of species. But what we oftentimes forget is that we also have to conserve diversity within a species. And so we know that genes actually underlie a physical appearance or the phenotype in scientific terminology. And so by conserving genetic diversity within a species, you're conserving a whole range of physical attributes, whether those are height of a tree or how well it responds to an insect attack, or in white bark pine, how well it's responding to that white pine blister rust. And so by making sure that we conserve both biodiversity across species and within species, you're ensuring that that species can still live within all of the different environments that it's currently inhabiting.
How do seed selection and tree breeding programs, how do they factor into managing genetic diversity in forest operations now?
So tree breeding is actually what controls genetic diversity in our forestry operations. And in BC, there's actually policy that sets a minimum genetic diversity requirement for our seed that's used in reforestation. And the Ministry of Forests has done a lot of research behind this minimum policy number. They didn't just pull it out of a hat. This research actually has shown that this policy ensures that our seed that's used in forestry and in reforestation has equivalent genetic diversity to our natural forest populations.
Dr. Tumas explained that this is where it gets technical regarding effective population size for reforestation. And in order to be registered as a lot collected from a natural stand within British Columbia, the lot must consist of seeds or vegetative material collected from trees other than parent trees, as long as the seeds or vegetative material have been collected from a minimum of 10 trees of the same species that are located in a natural stand within British Columbia. Collectively, these standards maintain the identity, adaptability, diversity, and help to ensure genetic biodiversity in all of natural forests in BC.
And so natural forests, whether they are old growth or more recent natural regeneration, are essentially a reservoir for genetic diversity. Tree populations are actually really unique in that they are highly genetically diverse, much more genetically diverse than most animal populations, for instance. And this is mostly down to the fact that most of our tree populations are very large, and they're also wind pollinated, meaning that this pollen can spread genes tens to hundreds or even thousands of kilometers. And so that pollen cloud that bothers all of our allergies in the spring might not be great for us. It's actually great for maintaining genetic diversity in our tree population. But they can also be locally adapted to their environment, meaning that a Douglas fir tree that is potentially growing on a mountain here on Vancouver Island has some different genes to one that might be growing in the Fraser Valley. And BC, in collaboration with researchers at UBC, are actually using this fact to develop a strategy to preserve genetic diversity across our natural forests. And so what they've actually done is that for every tree species here in the province, every native one, which is 43 in total, 25 conifers, 18 broadleaves, they check to make sure that enough populations are conserved in every environment in which that species grows. And so they do this actually using BC's BEC system, which is that biogeoclimatic environment classification or ecosystem classification system, rather. And so what they essentially do is look within each BEC that species grows and ensures that there's enough populations that are conserved within each of those environments. And so based on this idea that different genes are in different environments, the idea is that if you conserve across every environment that a species exists within, then you're conserving that full range of genetic diversity. And so they've actually worked to ensure that there are enough populations growing in each of these environments. And they do this by both looking at protected areas within each BEC zone, and we also collect seed in any area where there's not enough protected areas, and that's stored at the Tree Seed Center.
The Tree Seed Center, located in Surrey, maintains seeds for conservation and forestry operations, and this is especially important when researching climate scenarios that are happening now, such as wildfires, and biotic threats, such as pest infestations, that threaten BC's forests with climbing regularity.
That's kind of where genetic diversity comes in, and why it's so important is because it buffers populations against this unpredictability. But in terms of what we're doing to actually try to conserve that genetic diversity, so coupled with conservation strategy where we're ensuring that enough populations are conserved in each BEC zone, there's also research being done at UBC, primarily by Tongli Wang, where he's trying to predict how these BEC zones will shift in space as we move into the future. And then MLF is trying to make sure that we will still have enough populations conserved in those new environments as we move forward. Mm-hmm. And so that's one piece when we're looking just at genetic diversity, but there is so much research being done to try to better understand how genetic variation may shift under climate change. And this research is being done across governments and universities really around the world.
Dr. Tumas, there's been so much information that you've given in this conversation, but if someone's listening to this interview now and maybe they think the webinar might be over their head, how would you encourage them to attend your webinar?
So I think genetics can seem incredibly scary and quite complex, but it can be very straightforward. And so this seminar is very much so for everyone. No genetics knowledge necessary, whether you took a genetics course last year or 30 years ago or never. I promise we break it down. Start off with some genetics 101 and some genetic diversity 101. This is really for anyone that is interested in forests or conservation or having a better understanding of exactly what goes on in tree breeding to come. And I will definitely give it to you in a way that makes it much easier to understand, probably easier than this talk has been, because it's hard without some pictures.
Visuals,
and starting
yeah.
off at the basic. Yeah, I'm really hoping to see you all there.
The Canadian Food Inspection Agency issued a recall on January 18th due to a possible salmonella contamination of some brands of eggs in BC. Here in the Bulkley Valley, the recalls cover the brand names of Compliments, Foremost, Golden Valley Eggs, IGA, No Name, and Western Family Eggs. The expiry dates for recalled eggs are February 16th, February 22nd, and March 1st. If you purchased eggs within these brand names at a local store, you will be refunded and do not need to have your receipt. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency says foods affected with salmonella might not look or smell spoiled, but can still make you sick. And symptoms of salmonella are much like that of the flu, which include diarrhea, which may even be watery and sometimes contain blood or mucus, fever, headache, abdominal pain, nausea, vomiting, loss of appetite, and chills. And these symptoms usually develop 6 to 72 hours after exposure to salmonella, but most commonly between 12 to 36 hours and can last up to 4 to 7 days.
Thanks again for tuning in to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at skeenastrong.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks again to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters. I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.